I don't know if you're observant or not, but I got a new shirt. I don't know if you're aware of that, that I'm wearing. We'll bring and my friend Elijah and a couple of others. We're actually hooked up to the, when the spots come up, it kind of fades out. But we're actually hooked up to the internet right now with these things. And you'll see it oscillating back and forth, depending upon the strength of our internet connection. So AT&T is on the line right now. We have video evidence of how well their connection is with us and eyewitnesses also. So it has to do with our series here, of course. And the whole thing is, are you connected with God? How do you connect with God? And do you sense the need of needing to connect with God? Because if there's one area that I've always struggled in, I don't know if any of you can relate. Well just let me make me feel better. Maybe some of you. Would anyone here, both a video venue and at our live venue here, would you just admit by the raising of your hand, don't raise them yet, please, admit, I know some of you already have a guilty conscience, whatever it is, I know I've done it, okay, would you just admit that maybe your prayer life needs a boost? Would anyone here just kind of admit that? Okay, I see hands raised with muffins in them and whatever. And so, these are uncertain times. I've never heard so many times a phrase like this, no matter what pundit or expert it is, unprecedented. We've never seen this before. We're not sure where this is headed or going. Indicators seem to say, but we can't say for sure. And there's an old song that most of you don't know, but it has great lyrics, and it says, and actually it was written over 100 years ago, and it just puts a perspective in this about the uncertainty that they had then. It was the turn into the 20th century. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. And then it goes on from there. And the only equipping that I really can give you is to exhort you and encourage you, as I do myself, to remember to pray and to learn how to pray better. And so this is going to be just a very simple series, and it's not going to be profound for many of you, but I just went to a leadership conference this week, and one of the things I picked up had nothing to do with any of the speakers there, but it was one of the speakers quoting someone else, and you know how that goes. And basically, the line is, people don't need to learn more, they just need to remember what they already know. And that's a part of what this series is going to be like. It's going to be like, of course, I need to learn how to pray. Of course, I need to be bringing this to God. Why? I know that. Why am I not doing that? For some of you, this is going to be brand new ground. And for many, new life, God has blessed new life. We have a knack for attracting people who know next to nothing about the Bible or who Jesus really is. They've learned here for the first time that Jesus truly is more than just a swear word, okay? And so they really haven't connected the whole idea of prayer of what that is. So we're going to look at some real essential foundational basics today. And then next week, we're going to look at the idea of the mysteries in prayer. Things like, what happens when you just can't pray? Maybe your heart is just so broken, you can't pray. Or the idea of the mysteries of unanswered prayer. Or you're just not feeling it or feel like you're connecting with God. And then the third week, we'll look at Jesus' amazing words and simple directives to his disciples, who are some pretty simple guys, not dumb guys, but some pretty simple guys, pretty practical guys, and Jesus sat down for them a pattern on which we could pray. And let me give you a clue on that. It is not to recite the prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, that where you can disconnect your mind and just kind of, rant this little, recital of a prayer. You know, the Lord, you know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's a hint, okay? So let's just look at some of the things that we have here. Why people don't pray more. I almost put as a title for this, prayer and then Z's. You know, prayer, zzz, you know, then drool. You know, drool off the side of your mouth. And that actually comes from a memory of mine. Before and I'm still working on this, figuring out who I am as a person. And, you know, I'd read some of these dudes and pastors and whatever who say, you know, I get up at 4 a.m. every morning and, you know, I run 20 miles and in the first hour. Then I read through half the Bible every day and, you know, and just all of this stuff. And I thought, if I'm going to be a good guy, if I'm going to be a good pastor, I need to be doing that. And so I cajoled a whole bunch of dudes, men, to get up with me, and we got up at really, I think, 5 a.m. and for an hour of prayer, and we did this for quite a while, and then finally, at one of those times, after I had done praying, I don't remember a lot after I said amen, because we'd take turns praying out loud, until I felt a nudge on my shoulder like this, and this guy said, John, your snoring is distracting the other guys while they're trying to pray. And I had drool on the surface of the little pew there. And so, you know, and it was like, this isn't the first time, John. So I realized, you know what, everyone has a unique way in which they should pray. And I realized I am not one of those guys that can just do that. Other people, you know what, you're here in the early service for those that are in the live service, and God bless you in the 11:30 venue service who show up late to the 11:30 service with sleep in your eyes, okay? So we have whole different groups of people here, and you're naturally born just to get up way early. Good for you. And so I will not invite you to midnight prayer vigil, okay? Because you would be zombies there. So let's look at just how prayer works, and there's unique ways for each one of us. And so why don't people pray more? And I think one of them there, just right in the blank, you're not sure how to pray. You've heard about this. And just like some of you, I've talked with some of you about a challenge to read through the Bible. And you got stuck in Genesis 1, verse 1. And so, you know, you might need to learn and be equipped how to read the Bible. We have a class called 201. Which is past 101 prerequisite for that, that equips you a lot more in how to pray, get something out of it, how to read the Bible, get something out of it, along with other things. Others, you just get bored or distracted while you're trying to pray. And there are all these urgent things that you don't remember until it comes time to pray, and then they all start flooding into your mind. And it seems like the evil one will want to make sure that your phone, you know, an Android, whatever phone you have, will just buzz out of your pocket with all of these texts. And so your curiosity, who texted me and all this stuff is going to happen. Distractions, things you think your requests are too small for God. Truly, I don't want to bother God with this. And that has a lot maybe to do with your own background and your own family, could be. And not sure your prayers will really make any difference. You say, what's the point here? I just need to take charge of my life. I've tried praying about things before. I don't really see a lot happening. And so, again, this series will address these things because prayer is communicating with God. If you're filling in blanks, that's another one. So not sure how to pray, get bored or distracted, think your requests are too small for God, not sure your prayers make any difference. Maybe there's another one you need to write in there for yourself or things that you have run into. Or prayer is communicating with God. I would say why people don't pray more, maybe another one you could slip in there, is people have an unhealthy image of who God is. If we keep encouraging you, you know, connect with God, but you have this image of God who's this person who's going to strike you down if you ever admit anything in your life that has been flawed or imperfect. Well, why are you wanting to make appointments with that God in your life? Or if you feel you're making an appointment with God, he's going to stand you up. Because he doesn't really care, he's just really distant. Then, so you might need to recover a healthy image of who God is. That's a free one. That's not even on your new life notes there. And so, But prayer is really just communicating with God. And there's a lot of different ways of communicating. And some of you, your teachers, a lot of our teachers are getting ready to ramp up for another school year. And God bless our teachers, and you should keep them in prayer. It's a wonderful calling, and it can be a difficult calling. But when I look back at the best teachers in my life, they had a unique way of trying to connect with this unique kid right here. And when I wrote a paper once, I remember, and I was being sarcastic, no doubt, because the teacher had very little power over me because grades meant nothing to me. It's just a letter on a page. Who cares? I mean, an F, if you just draw a line, almost looks like an A anyway. And I try to get away with that when I brought it home. go, look, I got an A. That's an awful square-looking A, John, on your paper. Yes, I did get Fs. Okay, you guys, just get over it. I got Fs. All right. But I remember I wrote, there's supposed to have been this in-depth perspective philosophy type paper. And I just wrote a paper something like, once upon a time, there's a guy, he lived, he died, the end, and I turned it in. And I got an F minus. Have you ever got an F minus on a paper? And then with the note, please see me after class. Okay. And so I did. And what she did something very unique, which I wasn't expecting. I usually got the deal, I expect more from you, John. You've got some potential. And, why do you even bother coming to class? And which, after, by that sentence, all I hear after that is kind of like on the old Charlie Brown cartoons. You know how adults sound on the Charlie Brown cartoons? So, like, wah, 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 wah. Kind of like how I sound to some of you right now. And you're not connecting with me at all. Okay. But she did something different. She said, John, I think you are a budding philosopher. My ears perked up from that. I would like you to expand and develop. Who is this guy? I thought, Says, you know what? I don't care how long it is, but I would like to hear more of this story because I think you're on to something here that's unique in this class. So sure enough, I took that thing home, and I wrote something. Once upon a time, there was a guy, he had no hope behind that, and that changed the whole thing. And then I said, he lived, but did he live really? No, he just existed, and he died, but he died over a long period of time. He was dead before he was dead. The end? Question mark. Is this how I want my life to end? And that was from the inspiration. That's from some 14-year-old, flunky kid. And that was the beginning of inspiration for me to be actually major in philosophy. And actually, I didn't know that the whole roots there, which you already knew, was Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus, and several other, French philosophers. And I had no idea. But I ended up actually going to Paris and having one on Jean-Paul Sartre in the cafe he used to imbibe all the time. But mine was alcohol-free. Just want to let you know that, okay? Not that it matters to hardly any of you here. But, I'm getting tired when I say communion is alcohol-free, and you're going, oh, just stop it, okay? All right. But I'm ADD. I want you to know that. And that was an ADD moment. And it bothers me that you can just jump with me wherever I go, okay? Instead of being disturbed, you're not sticking on point, okay? But prayer is communicating with God, but God understands you. He understands how you are uniquely made, and there are people with certain type of personalities that will write in books how they pray, and by influence, how you should pray also. Because they might say something like, for me, the Spirit prompts me at 4:30 in the morning, and I get out, let's say I live on the beach, I get out and I start walking on the beach, and I just commune with the Spirit of God, and when I hear the seagulls and the waves, and I get lost up in the Spirit of God, and before I know it, the sun comes up, you know, and there's tears streaming down my face, and I come back, and there's three, you know, phone messages left at where people were awakened while I was out on my prayer walk and saying that God's been talking to them, and have I been praying for them? And you're just going, wow, why isn't my prayer life like that? Why doesn't that happen for me? And I've seen a lot of that. But the best teachers and the best parents, the best teachers and the best parents, the best teachers and the best parents learn the personality of their individual children. Or let's say your clients. You learn best how to connect with your different clients. And this, can you give God enough credit that God just wants to connect with each one of you? And God knows how you are uniquely made. And even though it irritates people around you, some of your quirks, can you understand this? That when you communicate with God, that you give God, in a good way, a big laugh? It's kind of like the angels are singing regally all through heaven and all this multiple harmonies and parts. And God's going, shh, shh. Hold it, you guys. Sounds good, but hold it. And then he says, Billy's trying to talk to me right now. Listen to this prayer. Isn't he great? Don't you just love this guy? And the angels are rolling their eyes. They're going, come on, we're on schedule here. We got to get the, come on. You know, God so delights in each one of you and in your unique personality. He does. And he understands your tears. And when you start crying, God starts crying. He does. And so prayer is communicating with God. David says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. And sighing is something more than it's more than just a sigh. It's just the kind of that deep kind of ache or stress or fret going on in your life. Because what happens to our friends around us once we have gotten to the point? Because sometimes when you're dumping your heart out with a friend, after a while, they're wanting to, if they're wearing a wristwatch, they're wanting to go like this. And they're wanting to be kind, so their eyes just kind of, you see? Especially if it's the same story you've told them like 5 times. Do any of you feel like you have to just talk it out? Anyone ever feel like that? It says, look, I just need to talk this out. God never grows weary of that. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help. My King and my God. Notice the respect there and the reverence there, knowing who he is. For to you I pray in the morning, O Lord. You hear my voice, and in the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. All right, so all that means is just every day. Some of you are shift workers or whatever. All it means is at the beginning of when you are awake again, you just bring God into the picture, and you just kind of invite him into these things. Again, there's a lot of different ways. You know, some of you, it might be just more artistic. Some of you considered, maybe, that one of the best ways for you to pray to God is through song. And maybe you've got a lousy voice, and it would be immoral for anyone else to ever hear you sing, okay? But it is so meaningful to you that maybe one of the best places for you to connect with God is in the shower in the morning. And you just start singing some song that you just made up. You know, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for soap. You know, just whatever it is. Yeah, but if it connects for you, go for it. And the angels of heaven are going, the bells, and God, oh, shut up. I just love their voice, okay? All right. Or it might be writing. That works for me because of my attention stuff, is I kind of write prayers, not just that, but sometimes I stop mid-sentence because I will have thought of something, and I took off, and then I go, where was I? And I looked out, oh, yeah, that's where I was. And so I have I have a whole stack of journals like this that I have filled over the years of prayers. Now, it's not every single day, calendar day, you see that in there. In fact, many times in my journals, you'll see a drop-off, and then like 3 weeks later, the entry will be, found my journal again. And I've, once again, misplaced my journal. And so, but, you know, that might work for you. Listen, this is an idea you might not have even thought of. That sometimes, there's a lot of things in the scripture. There are a couple of places where it says Jesus went away to lonely, isolated places and prayed. There are some things like that. But you will find most of the scripture passages, when it says, when you pray, it's in the plural. And so most of the places where we are commanded to pray is a command in the plural, which is very unique and counterintuitive to American culture, which is very isolated, very individualistic. And so it seems like, you know, don't you hear passages like where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them? Well, all that means is there is something that might be effective for many of you to where when you have times of prayer, maybe you need to connect up even by phone or even texting with someone else, just another person. And then when I have many people that have been brand new Christians, the first time that they've prayed out loud, always talk to God in the third person. And they've looked at me and said something like this: well, I suppose if God were here, I'd want to tell him that I'm really stressed out, John. And I'd want to let him know that, you know, one of my kids are driving me crazy right now. And that I'd have to say something like, you know, maybe direct that directly to God. But, you know, they don't necessarily have to do that. Maybe something that you need to think about if you have a confidential friend, is to talk out your problems with someone else, but then engage and acknowledge the presence of God with you. Like, you know, I am so running scared right now. You know, we've had a lot of layoffs at work, and I'm afraid to even go take a coffee break right now that I'm going to come back to my desk and see a pink slip there. And your friend's listening to you, and it's like your friend says, God, do you hear that right now? You know, my friend's really stressed out. And they're, yeah, God, I really am. And then they go back, talk to the friend. Does that sound weird to you? You know, some of you, it's really difficult to talk to an invisible God, and it takes time to develop and grow in the confidence of doing that. But that's another option. I'm trying to throw out options for you right now. It's almost a counseling session. And sometimes, you know what, it is just so pent up that you get alone at times like Jesus did, and you just out loud, where you aren't afraid anyone else is going to hear you, you just dump. And you just cry, and you just rage maybe, and you just let God know exactly what's going on. So there's a lot of different ways for doing this. And so there's some simple reminders then that I'm just going to give you right now. See, without prayer, you're just really dead in the water. New life is going to be dead in the water. And as we move ahead as a church together, we will have more calls to pray, because we are in an active war. We are not equipped, and we are not impassioned to build a great structured organization that's just going to be better at doing church than someone else is at doing church, that we can then just pull people from other churches to our church. That is the great capitalist way in America today, is we're going to create a better product than they are creating, and we're going to attract these tithe-paying Christians who are tithing at this church to our church. I don't think that's ever the stated purpose of any church. But it happens all the time by acquiescing to whatever the tastes and whatever the spoken needs are of those who are already convinced followers of Jesus. Are we concerned with that? We very much are. We want whatever place someone is at in their spiritual walk to be able to go to next levels. But what happens so many times is when the stated concerns and needs of the already convinced are in conflict with those who don't have an opinion because they're far from God and they don't really care and they don't know how much they need God. Guess how many churches do? They acquiesce to the needs of the spoken, convinced believers over the needs of those that are far from God. And we never want to lose our way on that. We always want to be able to have wide open doors for the mindset and the understanding of people, to where we want to continue to encourage followers of Jesus here to be yourself and to just befriend people who are far from God. And in a very natural, non-manipulative, non-coercive way, be open because your mind and heart is prepared in prayer to be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have in you. But if your prayer life is mediocre or non-existent or hit and miss, your heart and mind will not be tenderized to even be convinced that you have friends around you that need to connect with who God is. This is why prayer is so important. This is why many of you need to learn how to pray, and many of you need to be reminded of what prayer is, because New Life is going to need some miracles as we move ahead. Isn't this been the most wonderful season? When you look back at the history of New Life, how we have inspired you to have capital campaigns and build buildings, as they look back, it wasn't the Great Depression, but it was definitely the Great Recession. And who knows? You know what? If there's a double dip headed our way, I don't think there is personally. But you know what? God doesn't care. But we better learn how to pray. We better learn how to pray to get God's timing in all these things, to get his wisdom in all these things. Because one thing I know is if I'm out of wisdom, or if I think I'm in deep waters, you know, a mistake leaders make all the time is they can be competent in an area, but then they extrapolate that competence into other areas that have nothing to do with what God's called them into. And so we have a lot of things that do life. Guess what? I know I'm not competent in those areas, but there are many people here. There's a whole slew of wisdom right here in this room and in the 11:30 video venue, in our live service at the 10 o'clock, and at our Horizon service also at the 10 o'clock hour. And this is what prayer is about also, is connecting with God and getting the people of God that have this combined wisdom to be connecting with God and let God work through their personal wisdom and their prayer life to bring things forward to the body of Christ on how best to move ahead. Does that make sense to you all? So there's a strategic thing here to encourage you to pray and to learn how to pray, because some of you have some difficult challenges in your families and you're at your wit's end and you don't know how to move ahead with things. Some of you are at your wit's end financially. Some of you are at your wit's end with maybe your health and what to do. And there is a collective wisdom. If there are people around you that have different gifts and wisdom that you, who are in touch with God, they're in touch with keeping their heart sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit. It's amazing how God can work their life. So did you fill in the first blank yet? All right. There's a gut level honesty that you do with this. Just let me give you one last thing on this, if you're taking notes. It's basically this. I love listening to new Christians pray, because they're like children, so many of them, and they don't have all the flowery language. You know what? We've had men's fraternity here, and it's helping men to understand what it really means to be a man, and if they have a woman in their life, how to really treat a woman. And we actually gave a whole lecture and coached dudes on how to connect with their lady if they had a lady in their life, because it was around Valentine's Day. And you know what a lot of these guys did? They actually wrote their own cards. I mean, these cards actually were just hysterical if you were to look at them. But you know what? The lady that got that card, she didn't care about the grammar. She didn't care about the misspelling. She didn't care it looked like a second grader wrote it. She didn't care about how bad the poem was that this guy tried to write. She just loved that he was thinking of her in that whole thing. And so this is what God wants gut level. I remember a guy named Gibb, who I was in Wyoming at the time for a while and started a small group, and tons of people ended up at this thing. We had like 40 or 50 people in our small group. And I was only like 21 at the time, and, you know, we had people from 60 all the way down. I actually could have started a church out of that. But Gib was just one of these mean cowboy dudes. He just, I mean, the guy was the caricature. He had the handkerchief tied around his neck here, the whole bit, and, you know, the two cans of tobacco somehow fitting under his lower lip type thing. And in small group, he had to have a bowl there to spit. You know, that was his personal spittoon. And he just was always a little bit on the edge. And I remember Gib coming to the Lord, and I was fresh out of college. And in those days, it was very, very, you know, it was the early days of like Saturday Night Live and all this very sarcastic type humor and things like that, which became part of the curse of the boomer generation, that type humor. And so there I am in the small group leading this and being kind of quippy, kind of sarcastic. This guy didn't get any of that. He didn't understand any of that. And so when it came for group prayer time, there's Gib. You know, I'm standing next to Gib, and Gib's sitting there, and one of his first prayers is, God, thanks that John showed me about God, but God, I just want to deck him right now. I just want to take my right fist and shove it in his mouth right now because he is just so sarcastic. That was the word he used. He, you know, I think wise something, donkey or something like that, you know, and he's praying. And so as he's praying, I'm going, yes, Lord, amen. Things like that. And then it's just like, that's about it. Okay? And so I pray after that. It says, you know, and I say something like, God, would you forgive me? Because I love Gib so much, and I know you're working in his life, that I would ever disrespect him in any way. You know, and then it's like he steps a little bit closer to me. Now, Gib's compact. He's like 5'5". You would not want to mess with Gib. I'm telling you, you would not want to mess with this guy. And he stood close. I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. And Lord, you're our protector. Yeah, you love. We're brothers in Christ. And then he kind of just gave me one little pat on the back, you know, kind of like that. But it taught me a couple lessons there. You know, it taught me, you know, guess whose prayer is more acceptable there? Oh yeah, Gibbs. Now I'm not saying that if you cuss in your prayer, you know how you guys take lessons away from me. John said we should cuss with God and God will hear our prayer. You know? But the whole point I'm saying is, you know, don't sanitize your prayers with God. Don't think you're Shakespeare with God unless that's, you know, because that's more your culture than it has anything to do with when you're with your friends. You know, how you're talking with them. Oh, come here, girl. You know, whatever. You know, you don't have to call God a girl. You can if you want. You know, he wouldn't mind. But the whole point is those who are your best friends, as long as you have humility and reverence and respect, that's who God wants to be with you. Gut level. Are you with me on that? All right. About everything that matters to you. God cares about that. I know I skipped a verse there. Don't worry about it. Okay, about everything that matters to you. Don't be anxious about anything. You're good at being anxious, but you have a choice there. You can be anxious in prayer, or you can disconnect with God and take control. Do any of you here know anyone in the room, and it could be you, but you can raise your hand in the room, both video hour, this hour, if you know anyone who's kind of a control freak, okay? You can raise and point if you want. I don't care, you know. Oh, I'm seeing fingers. All right. Not that finger. Stop it. Okay, just kidding, you guys. All right. Oh, that was on video, too, you guys. Sorry about that. Okay. My Gib Crone, sorry about the last name, is coming out in me there a little bit. God cares about everything. Now, we're going to learn that your prayers shouldn't be just all about everything that concerns you, but God does care about. The Bible's full of examples like this. Pray about everything, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What does this include? Dear God, my third grader doesn't connect with her teacher. And all of her little friends ended up in another class that she's been with since kindergarten. Would you be with her or help us get her transferred over? What does it mean? Dear God, I know this sounds so vain, but every morning when I get up and I look at myself in the mirror and I see another wrinkle, I just feel so depressed. Okay? And why not admit everything to God? God can minister to you. God can work with you. God, when I look in the mirror and I turn sideways in the mirror, I get even more depressed. Okay? All right? You know, and God will prompt you. They have these mirrors that are so cool. They're about this wide, and they're like 7 feet tall, and you look incredible in those mirrors, you know? So, but just about anything. My baby's colicky, and I don't know what to do. My long-term boyfriend, it looks like we're not headed to marriage, and I'm devastated. They're downsizing. I don't know what to do. Don't have the same income. My boss has just given me grief. I don't know what to do about that. Just anything and everything. Do it. God cares about you. And then number three is continually. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Number three, be joyful always. Pray continually. You know what? Some of you aren't very joyful and you're not very prayerful. There's kind of a connection there between the two. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We just did a whole series, didn't we? What's God's will? Well, guess what? God's will is that you be joyful. How can you be joyful? You can't be joyful unless you're prayerful. So that's why we're continuing with this series. For me, this has been really important to learn. Like I said before, I know people that can just have long-term focus type thinking. In graduate school, and I'd write all these papers, one of the things they kept saying is, John, you need to go more in depth on less. And what they're saying, be really focused and really go deep on a certain point, which was a tradition of graduate school in the time. It was a tradition of how scholars and thinkers should be at the time. Since then, they've really just kind of panned that whole idea. And there's this idea of pan knowledge, the idea of there is a huge competence in being able to connect things from whole multiple areas as it relates to one subject, instead of just really honing in on this very specialized, narrow area. And that really, for anyone who's ADD, that's a delight to hear. Because I can randomly pick up all kinds of knowledge. Did you know that point does relate to here? And so for my prayer life, what I've learned, I have to journal to kind of keep a continuity of what's going on in my life. But most of my prayer time and prayer flow is I have the ability to really multitask. And on a regular basis, I can be online. I could be listening to something. I could be reading something and talk with someone off and on. That's kind of how my mind works. So I'm great. I'm not all stressed out with keeping a lot of things going at the same time. That's how my temperament works. So in prayer, what happens with me is every Sunday and wherever I'm at, when I see people, immediately I'm engaging with them and I'm praying for them. When I'm talking with people, I'm engaged in prayer. And there are many times when I'm about to say something, I have kind of like a red light, yellow light, green light, and I'll feel like this, like, don't say that right now. And you know what? That's usually God's message for me. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. No, don't say that either. But sometimes it's just a caution. No, don't say that yet. And then all of a sudden I'll be listening, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, say that now. Boom. And it's what they needed to hear at the time. And when I'm listening, you know, there's a uniqueness in prayer. And so my prayer time can be 20 minutes of intense burst of prayer. Because I am like punishment for me, and my teachers knew, they knew, and I guess they could do that in these days. They knew, and my family knew too. Torture for me is when a teacher would come up and put their hands on the side of my head and stare into my eyes and make me focus and look right at them. That was like torture for me. Have you ever done that with a little dog? You know, a dog. What does a dog do when you hold them and try to look right into their eyes? They pee on the ground, don't they? No, just kidding. But they're wiggling all over and they're darting, and that was me. And that still is me to a great extent. So God uses me and he allows me to kind of pray and burst here and there. But then I can continually pray all day long in situations. There'll be times where a lot of times there's a lot of repentance. Like, wow, God, the way I just said that to that person, please forgive me. That was so dumb. And you know, should I make that right? He says, no, don't do it now. Send him an email later or whatever. Thank you, Lord. There's this constant conversation going on, but this might work for you. Pray until something happens. Push. Just pray until something happens. There's an example of Hannah here and her persistence in prayer. And sometimes what we do is we just throw up a little prayer, say, okay, God, I've given you notice on this, so this is in the ball's in your court now. Go on with life. Because the reason continual prayer is important is it might change your attitude, it might change your mind, it might change your heart on a subject or upon a situation. Dear God, punish that person for what they did to me, please. God might change that prayer over time if you continue to pray about it. And then listen for his response, one of the biggest challenges for all of us. Charles Stanley has a book. I didn't put it on here. I think the title, if I remember right, How to Listen to God. I think that's the title of the book. Charles Stanley, How to Listen to God. You'll get the right title. And if you really want to know a lot more on this, I really recommend that book. So with Elijah, the story of this guy that was all burned out, and he is hiding in a cave. And it says that God came in many different ways. He came in fire, manifested in earthquakes, all this stuff. And every time this big bang was out there, it said Elijah pulled his robe around him and stayed inside of the cave. But then God came in a gentle whisper, and Elijah came out to the edge of the cave, and he looked around to where God was at. And you know what? I think God, with most of us, he whispers to us. And I've done this as a trick before. Instead of feeling like they weren't hearing me, someone, instead of talking louder, what I've done is talk softer. And, you know, then finally, you know what they do? You know, a lot of times when I've gone to someone's home, they've actually wanted me to come, or maybe they didn't. They have the TV on, and they have the remote in their hand. I'm sitting there talking to them, and they're kind of listening to me and, you know, looking at the TV back and forth, and I'll just start talking softer. And then all of a sudden, just a minute, let me put this on mute. But, you know, oh, okay. And then we're able to connect. Are you afraid of silence in your life? Do you like to keep your life busy? We can keep our life. So if you have a smartphone, man, I tell you what, in the middle of the night, you can look at the news, you can read things, you can have that little thing, just be scrolling around. But maybe what you're doing is you're disrupting an appointment God wanted to have with you. Maybe God woke you up in the middle of the night to have a conversation with you because you're too busy all day long. God wants you to listen to him. He'll speak to you through the Bible, through other people, through a message, hint, hint, through a song, through circumstances, if you're watchful. You know, I remember I've had a song on my mind before. As I've been looking at direction in life, and I've had things like this happen to me, you know, where I turn on, you know, maybe Christian radio, which I don't listen to hardly ever, all of a sudden it'd be that song playing, you know. You can say, oh, that's just coincidence. Yeah, maybe. Astronomical. And you get a confirmation from God, whatever it is for you. Eliminate the distractions. Remember the basics. And you know what, you guys? Connect. Connect. How's your connection? How's your connection? Apply the basics I've given you today. Apply the basics. Let's pray.